Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Formulate that plan.
Why is it that we need help with that?
Let me go back and give you a story from my days in the apparel business. You remember I spent 14 years in the apparel industry, women's and children's, and we were mainly wholesalers. We were retailers as well, but the main gist of our program was selling to the independent retailers across the country as a wholesaler. And I was probably 10 years into this and never had sat down and done a plan, and decided I need to take my leadership team away to a retreat, a nice resort, and sit down, and we were going to make a plan and how to really go forward. And this was after we'd had tremendous success. And the third company that I had formed had gone from zero to $7 million in less than 5 years. So things were going quite well. But I decided, let's plan on where we're going in the future. And I went out and did this retreat at a resort outside of Atlanta. And in retrospect, the worst thing I did was just to go without anybody to help us lead that meeting, because I tried to lead it as I had done most.
You tried to do it yourself, didn't you?
I tried to do it myself, and it just, when you're part of the situation, you just can't step outside your shoes and look at it objectively.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's a big mistake a lot of people make, and they think they can do it all themselves, or they want to save a little money, don't they?
That was my thing. I had actually talked to a couple people about doing it, and I said, no, I can do this myself. I'll save the money. And I didn't save money. I wasted it on the dollars that we spent and the time we took people away for a couple of days from our business. The expense of going to the resort, that type of thing. And I really threw the money out the window because I didn't spend that extra few dollars to bring somebody in to help us facilitate it.
Yeah. In fact, the ones that I have attended as a most of the time as a facilitator, the boss, so to speak, did less talking than anybody during that session. Basically, the boss just listened more than anything.
You're lucky if you've got that situation. I'll tell you, I've had several leaders of organizations say, "Gee, do you think I should even be there?" Because people will be intimidated. Well, I know I got problems right away if they're already worried about intimidating their
exactly.
team by just being present.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to sit down, and whoever the leader of the group is, the facilitator, as you know, Jim, has to talk with them in the first place and kind of establish some ground rules and let them understand that you may step in and say, wait a minute now, listen to what so-and-so over here is saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other mistake that I see people making with strategic planning is not including enough people. They will take away just two or three from their main leadership team, or it may be a half dozen. And they exclude so many people from the organization. The most important thing about having a planning session be successful is that when you've got your plan, that everybody in your organization feels that they were at least represented at that planning session. And the more people you have, and there's a limit, I think, as far as how many you can be effective with. I don't know what your number is, Jim. I like to stay between 15 and 20 max.
Yeah, you don't want to have any more than that, because it gets out of hand. Then it becomes an audience instead of a participatory group.
There you go. And as you know, I go around the country giving speeches, and I don't care how large the audience is, I can handle
right.
it. But
exactly.
It's a total different role when you're speaking to a group and when you're facilitating.
All right, let's say that we've decided everybody gets to attend, basically everybody gets to attend, and we've decided to hire, some hotshot leader like Blasingame or Mayberry, and we're ready to go. What are we going to try to accomplish there in this meeting?
There again, every group is different. Some people, and what have you done in the past? Some people have never done any planning, and there you've got an entirely different animal from somebody that does it on an annual basis. And I see frustrations from both groups. I think the real difficult part of being a facilitator, Jim, is when you do work with a group that does this on an annual basis. Because, yeah, there's a lot that's going on different, but the plan is going to look a lot like the year before. And some people just want it to be dramatically different, and that doesn't always happen.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're doing this for the first time, what you want to do, again, is to make sure you invite the right people, that you got a facilitator from the outside. And what is it you want to focus on? Is it an overall plan for your organization? I had one association that just wanted to talk about their trade show and how they could make that more effective. I had another bank that just wanted to take my customer service program and help them facilitate working that in to their bank.
So it could actually be focused on a project, or it could be more of a of an overall umbrella type of a strategic planning.
Absolutely.
The key word there is strategic, and strategic can be either very narrowly defined or broadly defined.
Absolutely. A couple of other things that I want to mention on the topic is that when I started doing strategic planning, this was back in about 1990, and back then, Jim, we used to do 5 and 10 year plans, mm-hmm. and now it's become almost impossible to look more than 12 months out because we're in such a revolutionary time. Things change so quickly. Who in the world can really look into the future 5 years out? Who
right.
knows what the price of oil is going to be? Who knows what the economic or political climate is going to be 5 years out?
Well, I think that it's important to be able to look that far out. What I think you have to do is you have to be careful about trying to nail that down too much. But I do think that you need to say, okay, you know, all things being equal, where do we want to be in 2 years or 3 years, and in these areas? And so you have to go from the micro to the macro. I think that's one of the important things to keep in mind in strategic planning. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break, 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend, Mark Mayberry, the author of Building the Dream Workforce. It's 23 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Mark Mayberry is our guest. He's our good friend, and Mark's got an outstanding website that's a good-looking site. And Mark, give us that URL, please.
It is www.markmayberry.com. That's Mark with a K and two R's in Mayberry, just like RFD.
Yeah, there you go. Just like Andy's hometown.
That's
there.
Right, Andy and Aunt B and Opie and all the good guys.
Well, when you go there, you can find out about some of the things that Mark does with strategic planning and some other things that he has. Also, they can buy your book there, can't they?
Absolutely.
Building the Dream Workforce. Now, is that available anywhere else?
The only other way to get it is to call my toll-free number, which is 800-394-6138.
Okay, but they can order under other products, I guess, is where they can find your book and everything.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Let me turn the tables on you, okay. Jim. Let me ask you a question that always fascinates me when it comes to strategic planning. How important is the mission statement?
How important is the mission statement? Well, I think that it could be important, but I think a lot of times it winds up not being important.
I agree completely. I think that
it could be a useful document, a useful message, but a lot of times it winds up not being.
I think mainly it's so long nobody can remember what it is.
Well, or it winds up being a billboard that's more for somebody else. If it's written for outside the organization, then to me, I mean, which you've seen that before, where it looks like a bunch of fluff and commercialism, and when really it ought to be something useful and something people can take down off the wall and operate, sort of not operate by, but develop a philosophy about.
Absolutely. My favorite is one that's not even really a mission statement, and that's from the Ritz-Carlton. The Ritz-Carlton has what they call a credo, which is a little bit long, and I'm not crazy about it, but on their credo card, which is a little laminated card they give to every team member, there's 9 words that I think are the greatest example of a fabulous mission statement there is, and that is, we are, ladies and gentlemen, serving ladies and gentlemen. To me, that just says
mm-hmm.
it all.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of them, they get, 3 paragraphs as their mission statement. How in the world can you remember that?
Well, my tagline in my marketing material, I consider it to be my mission statement, and it's very simple: dedicated to small business.
And that says it all.
Everything we do has to be dedicated to small business. The first time I talked to you, when I invited you on the show, that's what I told you. We have to do things that serve small business.
And everything I ever see you do on your website or in your book, it is strictly about that. You are so focused, and that's one of the reasons for your success. And I just wonder, do our listeners this morning have that same kind of focus, that same kind of dedication? And What's the best way to get it? By doing some strategic planning.
I think, yeah, exactly. And Mark, I think what happens is I think maybe we think, and I'm going to say we because, you know, you and I aren't perfect either, so we're lumping ourselves in here. Folks, we have to turn our own advice on ourselves sometimes. But I think sometimes, Mark, we think we're focused. But if we haven't actually sat down and done a little bit of examination, until then we won't realize that we may not be as focused as we think we are.
And there it goes back to what we first talked about. How can you really be, how can you actually have the ability to look at yourself and say, am I focused enough? When you've got that outside facilitator, when you bring in a Jim Blasingame to help you with that, they're going to ask you questions that may not be comfortable, but you know what? They get results.
Well, exactly. And I tell you, I liked your idea. Something you said earlier in the hour I really think is important. You know, a lot of times people don't have a business plan because they've never seen one. They've never prepared one, so they don't know what it looks like, and they can't make something they don't know what they're working on. Now, if they've never had a strategic planning session, they don't know about that either, and so they're intimidated by the process. And maybe they'd try to go off and have this huge global strategic planning process, and you know they're trying to eat the thing all at one time. I like your idea of maybe first what we do is we find a project that we really want to accomplish, and maybe we have a strategic planning session about that one issue.
Absolutely.
So you get educated. You sort of train yourself a little bit.
You do, and that helps everybody that's on your planning team figure out how to make it better the next time.
Well, in the next time, it could be a little more elaborate, a little more sophisticated, and then finally, after two or three, maybe then you do go for the global strategic planning session.
Absolutely, great ideas.
Well, there you brought them up, and I really like that idea. And I've always encouraged people to crawl before you walk before you run. Don't try to eat the thing all at once. Take it one leg at a time.
And I see so many people making that mistake. They try and go for the grand slam home run when you just get a couple of base hits and you're off to a good start.
Well, and you know, another thing, Mark, that happens that I've seen happen before is when you have a session like this the first time, your people are really looking to the owner to see if they can actually pull this off.
So they're very skeptical their first time in because they don't know whether for once, and again, it depends on what the owner's leadership style is to start with, but in so many situations, the leader is that all-dominating person, and people are intimidated to speak out. And there again, a facilitator has to be able to look at the total group and say, is everybody having their input? Is there somebody that I need to draw into the conversation? And they can do it so much more easily than if the CEO is trying to run the owner of the company is trying to run it himself.
Absolutely.
Or herself.
Mark Mayberry. MarkMayberry.com is the website, folks. The book is called Building the Dream Workforce. Mark, good job today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time, buddy. Mark Mayberry, he'll be back, I promise. 29 after. Going to take a quick break. I'll be right back with Tony Paradiso. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.